produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Greetings. My name is Terrence Burton. Before we get into the Word of God for today, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory, honor, and praise. I thank you for your wisdom being upon me to communicate your truth. Father, I thank you for the eyes of the understanding of your people being enlightened so that they can see, so that we can see clearly what you want to communicate to us at this moment. Father, thank you for your understanding and wisdom being imparted to your people. And most of all, that let Jesus be glorified in everything that I say today. I yield myself to your spirit to bring forth truth in a clear way. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen, and thank God. All right, we're going to be talking about over the next few minutes what I want to call the three primary ingredients of prayer. Now, the reason that I'm saying primary is because there are some additional things that we need to understand relative to prayer that need to be included at times. And some things fluctuate. Some things may not necessarily be a part of every prayer. But there are three basic or primary elements that we're going to talk about that should be a part of everything that we pray. All right, so let's look at some scriptures before we get into the explanation and what those and identify what those ingredients are. We're going to start in Mark chapter 11, verse 12. And it says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet." Verse 14, "And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." That's Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. So now we're going to jump down to verse 20. And it says, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Verse 24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them." You shall have them. Now, Jesus here describes or gives us a picture of what faith in God or the God kind of faith looks like. It's important for us to understand for at least two reasons. One, in order to identify or have a clear picture so we can replicate it. And two, so that we can identify when we are not operating in the God kind of faith in order to course correct. Keep in mind that verses 20 through 24 follows Jesus speaking to the fig tree and the tree obeying his words. Now, as we look into these verses, there are three elements that Jesus mentions as it relates to prayer. Number one, desire. Number two, belief. And number three, words. Let me say those again for you. Number one is desire. Number two is belief. Number three is words. Why is this teaching important for us to grasp? Because on the surface, without his explanation, it looks like all Jesus did was spoke. This is because of the fact that if you read only what he did without the explanation, that is the only thing your senses can detect. You cannot see his desire nor his belief. You may have missed those two things and only heard the words that he spoke. This is also important to understand because sometimes we think people are in faith because we hear their words, even though we cannot see what they truly desire or believe, which may contradict their speech. Now, Jesus' explanation shows us each of these ingredients, so to speak, he used in order to change the fig tree. Without the explanation, it would be like baking a cake and only having some of the ingredients, but not all of them. This is why I believe people fail to receive. They fail because they leave out ingredients that are critical for producing the outcome they desire. We must understand that the world of prayer operates off of principles just as the earth does. We understand basic principles of survival, such as you must have food and water for your body in order to live. We must also understand that there are some things that are vital for our prayer lives and prayer fruitfulness to exist. Without these ingredients, we would not bake a good prayer cake, so to speak. All right. So now we're going to break down these particular ingredients to make sure that we've got a good, thorough understanding of them. Now, but before we do that, let's go back and look at some of these verses again to help us walk through this. So in verse 20, it says, "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." So as we read earlier, Jesus was hungry. And so he saw the tree and thought that, well, the tree has leaves. So then therefore it has fruit. And the where I'm getting that from is that a fig tree is not supposed to have leaves unless it already has fruit. And so Jesus, thinking that this tree was going to be able to meet his need, he goes to the tree, he looks through the leaves, but he doesn't see any figs. And so here he is left still hungry, and he says to the tree, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." So then he went on about his business, took the disciples with him. But then when you get down to verse 20, they're passing back that way again, and the disciples see the tree, but this time the tree is dried up. The roots have decayed. The tree is clearly dead. Whereas the previous day, when they walked by, the tree was not dead. But now here it is. It's dried up, as the Bible says, from the roots. So they're wanting to find out how this happened. And it's very important for us to understand that that is the question that is posed here, because if we don't understand the question, then the answer really won't make much sense to us. And so Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." Now, when you look at other translations or other accounts of it, the question that seems to be on the table is, how did this happen? When you look at verse 22, it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God." So Jesus is answering means that he is actually responding to a question. And so the answer, the short answer he gives is, have faith in God. Now, the phrase "have faith in God" literally means have the God kind of faith. So then the next couple of verses, or the next few verses, what Jesus is about to do is explain what the God kind of faith looks like. Or he's getting ready to explain what the ingredients are that compose the God kind of faith, or faith in God. And that's very critical, because as I stated at the onset, is that if we don't understand what faith in God looks like, then how can we course correct? How can we make adjustments? And so going on to verse 23, it says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, what were those ingredients again? What were those ingredients again? Desire, belief, and words. Desire, belief, and words. So in verse 23, look at what he says. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, you've got words, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. That is desire, meaning that there is an outcome that you're looking for. That's very important, because oftentimes when it comes to prayer, people do not make up in their mind what the outcome is that they desire. So there has to be a desired outcome. So Jesus said, say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. So he said, you have to be able to tell the mountain where to go. And he says, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. What were those again? Desire, belief, and words. So he said, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So simply put, he said, you have to speak words that are in harmony with your desire and belief. Desire and belief go together. And coupled with that are the words that you speak. Then verse 24, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. Look at that. You see that? Desire, when you pray. When you pray, what are you using? You're using words. Believe, there it is again. He said, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Now, a couple of points that I want to bring out about this as we break this down. All right. Now, desire. What is desire? Desire is your will. And as I stated a moment ago, is the outcome that you want. You could say it's your starting point and it serves as your target. In other words, your desire should become a decision. And it should become a decision of what is going to happen. Okay. And then the next ingredient is belief. Now, what we have to understand about belief is we got to get our tenses right. Now, here's what I mean about tenses. Desire is future. In other words, this is what I want to happen as the outcome. But inside of the heart of the believer, that desire must be converted to belief, which is not simply future, but it becomes present. Because notice Jesus said, you have to believe that it's happened. You have to believe that something that you desire in the future has already happened. Why is that important? Because your belief determines the outcome or the output. So you start with desire. Desire is converted into belief. Now then watch this with words. So words, what are words? Words are spoken or communicated thoughts. And here's what I want you to understand relative to the purpose of words, or what is it that words do? Words convey your desires and beliefs from your heart onto the canvas of the world. Well, what do you mean? Well, let me break this down. What does it mean to convey? I'm sure all of you are probably familiar with a conveyor belt. And typically they're used on an assembly line where you take a part and you put it on this conveyor belt, meaning that you put it on this belt and it moves the part from one place to another. So the purpose of words is to move what you believe and you desire. It gives motion to your belief and your desire. It is to move the beliefs and the desires that are in your heart out of your heart into your life. Let me say that again. The purpose of your words is to move your desires and beliefs from your heart into your world, into the canvas of your life. Amen. So let's go back to the scripture. Again, let's take a look closer look at verse 24. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire." Now, let me say something, because this whole story started off with a desire. Do you recall what that desire was? Well, I'll tell you. The desire that it started with was hunger. In other words, Jesus was wanting something to eat. So that's why I'm sharing with you that that's your starting point is desire. Now, not simply because that's where the story starts, but if you understand what happened was Jesus's transformation of the fig tree started with his own desire to eat. And that's important for us to grasp, because if God is going to do a thing in our life, if there are some things that are going to manifest in our life as we pray, it's going to come through the filter of desire. Now, one of the interesting things about how it works is this, that Jesus's body became hungry. In other words, he sensed a deficit in his body. So you could say it like this, that it's your deficit. Now, when I say deficit, what am I saying? I'm saying something that you're lacking. It is your deficit that actually inspires desire. That is why you shouldn't kick yourself, or you shouldn't beat yourself up, because you have discovered that you've got a deficit. Because discovering the places where you're weak, discovering the places of your deficits, discovering the places where you lack, is the beginning of manifestation. And see, it's important that you understand that, because what we're looking at is a process by which manifestation happens. And you can be beating yourself up when, in fact, you should just be understanding, oh, I'm just in this phase of my process. So I'm not going to beat myself up anymore. I'm just going to identify what phase of the process I'm in. Because if I can identify where I am, then I can also identify what my next step is. Because if I know that, oh, I must be just be at the beginning of this because I sense a deficit. And so it's okay, because I've identified, okay, I'm lacking right here, and my lack or my deficit is building or creating in me a desire to fill it. And so I'm not upset because of my lack. I said, wait a minute. Oh, a desire is being birthed in me due to my lack. So I thank God that I recognized I had a lack, because if I didn't recognize I had a lack, then there would not be a corresponding desire to fill it. And so then once that desire is birthed, then I can now use my faith and look at my deficit as already being met and satisfied. I can begin to believe that it's resolved. So you see that? So I have to go. So I experience the lack or the deficit, which promotes a desire that puts me in the position to believe. Let me say that again. I recognize my deficit that creates a desire that puts me now in a position to believe. And so now, since I'm in a position to believe, I can have what I say. But it started with the recognition of lack. Think about it like this. You may have started a new job one time, and as we all have. And when you went in, you didn't know everything. There was a deficit. There was a lack of knowledge. There was a lack of understanding. But then what did it do? It made you want to learn more, or it made you want to fulfill that lack, or to satisfy that lack, and to no longer have a deficit in that arena. So what did you do? You acquired knowledge, and you acquired knowledge because you believed that you could actually do the job. And so you went through a similar process when you started your job. You didn't start your job at phase three. You started it with a deficit. When you came into this world as a baby, you weren't born running. You started off with many deficits and you began to learn how to use your body. You began to learn about things in this world. You start off not even knowing what's supposed to go in your mouth and what was not supposed to go in your mouth. All of us started with deficits. So deficits simply mean that I'm at a starting place with whatever manifestation this is that I desire. It doesn't mean I can't have it. It just means that I'm at phase one. And so that's what we need to begin to understand, because even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had a deficit. He needed food. He needed food and he didn't have any. That's a deficit. That's lack. So he knows what it's like to have absence or to want something and not have it in the moment. And so if you are experiencing a lack of understanding, understand this, that you're in good company. Jesus knows what it's like, but he also knows what it's like to bring you from lack to fulfillment. All right. All right. So here Jesus is walking us through these elements. And it says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So when you accept it as done, when you believe that it's done, watch this. Whatsoever things you desire, future tense. When you pray, at the moment you're praying, so you're praying in the present based on a desire that was born or that was forged within you. Believe that you have it, and then you will believe you receive it, and then you will actually have it in your future. So you believe you've received it now, and then it will show up in your future, and your future will become your present. Or the things that you have hoped for in the future, you will experience because you have decided to accept those things, believe that those things are yours. You have accepted them into your life. You're not waiting to receive them. And that's very important, because you have to accept it as done now. Why? Because the Bible says faith is now. Now faith is not future. Hope is future, but hope must be converted to faith in order for manifestation to occur. In other words, you take what you desire to happen in the future, but you accept it as being done now, and then manifestation will occur, because you have included all of the ingredients that should be a part of your faith cake. Because really, think about it. That's what Jesus is teaching here in verse 22. He says, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Or he's getting ready to say that I'm getting ready to show you how to bake this faith cake. And you got to get your ingredients together if you're going to bake this faith cake. And those ingredients, your primary ingredients, are your desire, your belief, and your words. All right. Now, before we close, I just want to wrap this up right quick. One thing that's important about this particular lesson is that Jesus didn't say that he's the only one who can do this. Look at verse 23. He says, whosoever. He didn't say this is relegated to me because I'm the Son of God. He said, whosoever shall say. So this is not a principle that's relegated only to him because he's the Messiah. And so we need to take a hold of this with the understanding that Jesus was not simply demonstrating something to us for the sake of demonstrating it. He was demonstrating something to us for the purpose of showing us how to operate the God kind of faith. So he took what he did and turned it into a lesson so that he would not only be our Lord, but also our example. In other words, he's saying, I want to teach you this because I want you to understand and believe that the works that I do, you can do also. But in order for you to do those works, you must understand the principles that I'm operating off of. And so that's why he teaches them, because it's just like this. And I'm going to end with this. If you're learning to bake a cake and somebody gives you the recipe, it has the ingredients, they tell you when to put this ingredient in and this ingredient in and so forth. You can bake the same cake if you follow the same steps. And so the point that I'm making for you here is this, that you don't have to be Jesus to do this, because Jesus gave us the recipe. So you follow the recipe of Jesus, then you would get the results of Jesus. We're going to close right there. God bless you. Now, see you next time. I love you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.